Good morning, everybody. Glad you guys are here. Beautiful day. All right, you open your books to Proverbs again, chapter 14. We're going to continue on this series. And we only have one verse today, and it's going to be worth it. So it's verse 4, Proverbs 14, verse 4. Y'all stand with me as we read together. It says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox." Now, if y'all didn't catch that, did that Bible just refer to us as a bunch of oxen? Yep, it did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for all that we need your truth and crave it, Father. I pray this morning that you'll help me to speak your truth, not in a way that simply enriches our mind, Father, but also just changes and transforms our heart. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for all that you have done and continue to do through this church. I ask you to be with us this morning to help us continue to grow, and everything that we do will glorify you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So, it's only one verse, but there's actually a lot to talk about in this one little verse, and we'll just kind of start with the first part where it says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean." Now, if you have been... this is kind of true with any kind. Anytime you have a bunch of group of people and you kind of get them together and you know, it gets kind of messy when people are involved. And maybe you guys have said this at one time or another or heard somebody say it, maybe through exasperation, but maybe not. It just says, "I hate people." Y'all ever heard that before? Maybe said it before, right? So I hate people. You know, and because the reality is when you kind of people are messy. I mean, when you get a group together and you start doing things, and whether it's a church or anything, and you get people involved, it just gets messy. Amen? It does. Come on now. You guys can amen that one. Wake up. We can do like Walmart, get up and do calisthenics and get everybody's blood flowing. You want to be loosened up for this one because this is hitting kind of home. So, yeah, so this whole thing is a metaphor. And so to kind of get started in here, we'll sort of lay down the players here, the actors, in this metaphor. And a metaphor that we have here is we are the oxen, right? The oxen is us. We are the oxen. The irritable, fat-headed, messy oxen. That's what the Bible is referring to us as, right? Now, so that's it, not my words. It's Scripture. But when it's making this kind of metaphor, making this example, we are the oxen, and that's kind of what it's getting to, is that that quality, if you will, of those oxen. That's us. The second part of that is the manger. Now, the manger, of course, the manger is symbolic for us in the church. That's where our Savior was laid in the manger when he was born. But the manger is a feeding trough. So in this example, in this metaphor, that's the local church. So we are within the body of believers. We have oxen, us, me included, and we have the local church. And this is what the metaphor is all about. And what it's saying is, just point blank right here, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. So if you have no people, the church is just clean, no mess, everything's fine. The mess is involved when you get people into the mix, into the picture, right? So... when we sort of working through this whole example, want to make sure we understand clearly what the Bible is talking about and why this is so true and why I think oxen is such a perfect example for us. Because when you think about any kind of livestock, in this example, oxen, without oxen, it would be less work, right? If you guys have dealt with any kind of livestock, there's some work involved, all right? So I don't know, I grew up in Indiana on a farm. I didn't grow up on a farm. I worked on farms. Worked for farmers, rather. And so they had livestock. Now, there they had hogs. Let me tell you, that's a whole lot of work, right? But just when you, this is what the analogy and the metaphor is making this point, is that when you have this oxen, there's work that's going to be involved. An example is this one, you got to feed them, right? That's true of oxen and animals, and that's true of us. You got to feed them. You guys come here, you want to get fed. Amen? All right, you guys with me? Yep. So you want to get fed. I mean, we want to, healthfully, just like with the oxen, we want a balanced diet, right? So when you are in a small group or when you're doing listen to sermons, I mean, it has to be a balanced diet of what you're being fed spiritually. That's the same thing that what the metaphor is talking about. It's just there's some work involved there. You got to feed them. And if you're going to feed the oxen, you can imagine you're also going to have to clean up after their mess, right? That's where we're going. That's what it's saying. The oxen is messy. Now, just to make sure we get the full appreciation of this analogy, I want you to see what I see when I talk about, when I'm thinking about read this and think about the mess. I'm thinking about, again, my growing up working on those farms, and there's a couple different ways. Well, they'll just tear some stuff up, any kind of animal. If you get some kind of livestock, they just destroy things, man. I worked, a good friend of mine named Scott Orr, I grew up, his dad had got these boars at one time, these big old tussies out the front. Those things was tearing up the fence. Every time we come home and they're in the yard or something else, he's got to clean it all up. But the real thing I think about when I read this, which I think is what the analogy is and the metaphor is bringing out, is one of the on the hog farms, now you have these different buildings where there's a farrowing house where the hogs are born, and then, on to their whole, the processes are grown, and then it gets shipped out, right? Underneath the houses on a lot of farms, not all of them, there's a big pool, if you will, cut out. And y'all know what goes down there, right? All that nasty stuff. So one of the jobs I had was to back up what they call a honey wagon. It's not what you think. It's a big pressurized tank, and you put the tube down inside the thing and hook it up and turn on the PTO, and it just pulls all that mess up inside of there, and then you go out there and you spread it out on a field. That's organic, right? So all of you thought that organic meant they just sprinkle it with Starbucks coffee grounds. No, that's organic, right? So that's what you did, and then you had to clean up the mess. So when I read this, man, I just can't help but chuckling about all the, how it just had to muck out these stalls. And this is what it's saying is like, look, without the oxen, the manger's clean. I'm like, man, I understand that one. And it's talking about us, right? When we are in the church, we make messes, right? We break things. Now, usually for us, the way we break things is in the terms of relationships, right? We get in here and we have broken relationships. We got to deal with that. I think what we can take away from that is understanding, like, look, if you're going to deal with people, you got to be willing to get your hands dirty. You got to be willing to fix things that are broken. That's a part of it. And if you're going to deal with people and interact with people, that's just kind of what the job entails. Now, as we move along in here, y'all thinking, well, okay, I get on the oxen. Well, I'm not done yet. I got more examples, right? Because some of you, you might hear that and say, well, I kind of get that. And there was a time in my life I might have been sort of like the oxen. I was messy and I was broken, but I'm kind of cool now. I'm pretty good. I'm a seasoned Christian. I'm not really the oxen anymore. That's really talking about somebody else. Well, let me just kind of tell you about the different kind of oxen. I was thinking about this and the different kind of oxen that are representative of the different kind of people in the church, right? One, you have the wayward oxen. Right, Melissa and I a few years ago went to this ranch in Montana for like 3 or 4 days. It was absolutely beautiful, like 1,200 acre ranch. It was just awesome. Like in the town, it was set up like a old time, like Western kind of town or whatever. It was cool. One of the things we did is we went on like this four or five hour where we herded the cattle. We didn't drive them. That's what I learned is you don't drive the cattle, you herd them. Right? You just get them. Don't get them excited, right? But so we're on these horses. And they had to get an extra large horse for me. It was kind of humiliating, but it was the end of the year, so we had to take them. They were going to a different field they weren't used to. So one of the jobs I had at one point, I said, hey, Justin, go up there by the gate. There's a little creek running through there, and just we got to get them through that gate. So I would just sit there and make sure they, go through the gate. But, most of them would see the cow ahead of them and just, okay, we're going there. But you'd have a couple of them like, no, I want to go that way. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? Well, that's not too far away from some of y'all in the church, amen? You get the whole church going this direction. You got a plan. We prayed about it. The whole church is going this way. Inevitably, you're going to have a couple of people say, well, I think we ought to go this way over here. And it's really not really following the rules, if you will, instead of going their own way. And you have that wayward oxen refuse to sort of conform and do what everybody else is doing. We also have the unmovable oxen. All right. Now, we have those oxen, they just, well, I ain't moving. This is where I'm going to stand. I'm not moving. So, now, in church language, how you identify them is they have this certain phrase you'll hear a lot of times, and it's something along the lines of, this is the way we've always done it. That's unmovable. Amen? I told y'all I want to warm up a little bit before we get started. So that's the unmovable oxen. I don't want to do it that way. I want to sing these kind of songs. I want to read this kind of Bible. I want to do this kind of ministry in this sort of way. We had this ministry in the last church. Why don't we have this ministry in this church? Like all of these things. I'm telling you, I've heard every single one of those arguments, and maybe you have too. Right? So that's the other kind of oxen maybe you relate with. And you need to have the oxen that just don't work well together. Right? You get like a team of oxen. Anything, animals, right? You sort of get a team. You get them sort of side by side together. The person, the farmer, whoever this is, has to know the oxen well enough to say, well, we got a job to do. These two just don't work well together. Will we get the job done? We'll get the job done, but it's going to be a struggle the whole way. Now, how many of y'all give me an amen on that one? Yeah, y'all. See what I'm saying? Perfect. It's like this was written by God or something, right? Man, oxen is perfect. We just go on for days about how we're just a bunch of oxen, bunch of big, fat-headed oxen. That's us, all of us. So those are just a couple of examples of the different kind of oxen. And they're not even working well together like just personalities. Sometimes it's even generational, right? And I've heard this, and regrettably I've heard this in this church. I love y'all, but I'm being honest, right? I've heard this term about that younger generation. Ooh. Right? We said that. Now I'm just saying there's we're all in this church together, amen? All of us. And there's things that we do and things that we say that if we think about it, we're just being like a bunch of oxen. A bunch of big old pig-headed oxen. So I'm just saying you and I, me too, can relate to being oxen because we are. That's what the Bible's saying. We are oxen. We do things, and we're stubborn. We make messes. We break things. And we're all in this thing together. And that's us, the church. So without the oxen, of course, the manger would be clean. The church would be clean. There'd be no problems. Everything would just go fine, right? However, we have an issue. The issue is that our mission is not to be clean. Our mission is to have an abundant harvest. Right? At least it should be. So therefore, we have to deal with something. We got a problem we got to deal with. And there's a reality we got to face in Proverbs 14. The second half of that tells us the reality of that problem. That even though it's true that where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But it says, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Is it true that the church would go problem-free without a bunch of people? Well, of course. The people are where the problems usually come from. But what good would that church be? There'd be no harvest without us and all the mess and all the problems. The reality is that we need each other. We need each other how we are. Just a couple of those analogies. I mean, so when we have broken relationships, we have this opportunity to come together and fix those broken relationships, right? And learn from that. And maybe you sort of stung a little bit when I talk about the wayward oxen, right? Well, throughout church, if you guys ever studied church history, some of the people we revere as pioneers in the faith and their time were considered wayward oxen. Martin Luther, who went against the church and said, look, salvation is by faith alone, and the Bible, that's God's word. I mean, he was just ostracized. We turn our nose up to hymns. You guys know the first hymn writers were kicked out of their churches, and in that culture, when you got kicked out of the church, you basically got kicked out of the community. Those were some of the brave Christians who wrote our hymns that some of us will turn our nose up and say, that's old-fashioned. Maybe you think about that oxen that just, instead of being a wayward, sort of kind of a maverick, who braces forward and pioneers like new ways to do church and ministry. Maybe you're the oxen that just says, I'm kind of immovable. Immovable. I'm going to say that correctly. Here's the thing I've learned about those type of people in the church that really are very hesitant to move forward and change. Like, I don't mind change. I love change. I'm kind of like, I get excited, do new things. But I also need people to hold me back a little bit because I'll just blaze out in the wrong direction, and I need to be grounded. So you have those people that sort of hang on to the way things are now. We need them because it keeps us grounded. Amen? We need all these different kinds of oxen Is it messy? Absolutely it's messy, but we need all of you, how you are. Now, there's parts of us that need to be done away with. The Bible says, look, that's a sin. You need to get the sin out of you. But your personality, like who you are, you don't need to conform to the person next to you or the person up here speaking. You need to be who you are. God's made you the way you are, and everything about you that God has made and given is valuable, and you're here in this church because we need you. You shouldn't have to, the church should never have to feel like we should conform to be a church. God didn't make like one kind of Christian. He made a Christian of all people and all nations. In fact, that's what the Great Commission says, right? Go baptize of all nations. What does that mean, all nations? All different kinds of people, all different kinds of cultures, all kinds of different tastes in music. I mean, there's all these different people that we bring together. You just look at those 12 disciples, right? The variance in those even 12 disciples, man, it was insane. But that's who Jesus brought together. He knew what he was doing. He handpicked them. Amen? And he handpicked them where they were and brought them into what would end up being the first church. So this really is all about, this verse, this proverb, is about getting our perspective straightened out. About us, see, that's one. I hear some people sometimes will say, "Well, I don't really need to belong to a church to be a Christian." I'm like, man, you do not know how to be a Christian if you're not around a bunch of people that aren't like you, right? If your version of Christian is like around you and your family, like you guys are probably, I mean, some families that's probably pretty hard, but I mean, for the most part, you're kind of like your family, right? You're not really being challenged to have these different kind of views. If you want to learn what it's like to really be a Christian and love people the way Jesus did, you need to get and start bumping elbows with people that don't particularly think the way you do. Amen? And don't read the Bible the way you do. And we'll see some doctrine differently than the way you do. And you're faced where you have to talk about, why do I believe that the Bible says this? And why do you believe the Bible says that? And actually have this conversation. And to learn to love people that don't actually like you. Amen? You meet people in church, you get a whole bunch of people, you're bound to meet somebody that really, you're not their favorite person. And you know it. And you know what? The Bible says you need to love them. I've met people in the church that I know they don't particularly care for me. I got to love them. That's not always easy. But think about Jesus who hung on the cross and prayed for the people who were murdering him. We had a high example. So this short little verse, and I didn't want to expound on it because, I mean, there's so much in this one verse, 14:4, that so accurately calls us oxen. And if we're real with ourselves, we'll understand, like, well, that's kind of spot on. So wherever you are this morning, if you're in a place where you say, you know what, I think I'm doing pretty good, I love you, but you're an oxen like everybody else. If you're here this morning, you're thinking, I don't know if I really fit in that church. I'm telling you right now, we need you. We need you in this church. God has brought you here for a reason, and I'm telling you right now, not only do we need you, I'm telling you, you're worth it. You're worth every kind of mess and every, so I'm getting the age where I can sort of see things come full circle, right? I'll be 48 in December, so I know it's getting there, but at least long enough that I can see where there are people who, at one point in their time, they were like a wreck, man. They're in the church. They're nothing but trouble. They're a wreck. They're a lot of work. And then see them go where God has changed them, and they became just this irreplaceable person in the church, right? I'm one of them. I mean, man, I'm telling you, when I first got, I'm not irreplaceable. That was kind of self-serving, wasn't it? I mean, I'm just saying I started off that kicking and screaming. I did not want anything to do with the church. And God got a hold of me, and it's changed me. And some of you are the same way, that you've had this through your journey. Maybe you started off like you were just this wayward kind of rebellious oxen. So I'm just saying, I mean, wherever you are this morning, I mean, either you needed the reality of knowing, like, yeah, I'm kind of an oxen, or you just need to know and be reassured that you are important in this church. Wherever you are in your journey as a Christian, we need you. I need you to keep coming. And it's also a challenge for us to understand for each other that you need the person next to you and the person in the seat behind you, and we need that. That's the kind of church we need to be. Amen? All right, so we're not going to continue on. That's a pretty quick sermon today. But here's why I wanted to keep it so concise. Is I really want you guys to think about, and I'm not saying we don't do this. I really think this church right now is in a place where I just think it's the, sometimes people ask me about the church, and I'll tell them, like, look, it is so easy to get involved in that church. That's not really clicky, not really catty. I'd never knew what that word catty was. I heard a couple times, almost had to explain what catty meant. I didn't know what catty meant. So, but we're not catty, all right? At least by the definition I understood, we're not catty. So if you guys don't, ask a lady. She'll tell you, I guess, or somebody who knows what a catty meant. I think we're in a really good place. But, I mean, I think as well as not just that we get along to each other, I think that the next step is that each one of individually think about this verse this week and just ask the Lord, like, how do I contribute or how do I hurt what is being told in this verse? Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, just for this simple metaphor that you put in your word, this proverb that is so short, yet, Father, at the same time, it is so profound in dealing with the relationships that we inevitably are faced with in your body of believers, and the issues that come with those relationships, but also the benefits that come from those relationships, Father. Lord, if anyone is here, then they maybe don't help. I mean, I hope that you help us all to see ourselves the way you do, with love, but also with truth and honesty. But I pray that in an increasing way, we will always be a church that is accepting and just a place where people can be themselves and come and grow in their faith, in a place that we can just, regardless of what your past is or even what your present is, that they'll know and feel the reality that they're welcome here in this place, in this family. We'll just love them. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?